This is the American Ag Network Week in Review. In the show today, Rusty Halvorsen gets us caught up on the week's top news.
Dozens of environmental, hunger, and other advocacy groups sent a letter to top agricultural lawmakers urging them to pass a farm bill as the clock runs out on Congress's lame duck session. Groups ranging from the Sierra Club to Hunger Free America to the Pesticide Action Network are pushing for a final bill similar to the Senate's version, which passed that chamber with broad bipartisan support and leaves out controversial food stamp work requirements at the core of the House bill. Senate Ag Committee Chair Pat Roberts telling reporters earlier this week that negotiators were close, but that House Ag Committee Chair Mike Conaway was standing in the way. Conaway firing back, telling reporters that finger pointing at this stage isn't going to help. Allison Rivera with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
At the end of the day, he has to be focused on getting a good bill, but also getting a bill that can move out of the House as it currently is. And we know that the Republicans are still in control through this lame duck on the House side. And so I think what you're hearing from the chairman is that he knows that there are certain things that need to be in this bill in order to get the votes that it needs to get to the president's desk. And that's what you're seeing from him right now.
Farm groups have long feared that the divisions between the House and Senate could prevent passage of a new bill.
And I think that Chairman Roberts and Chairman Conaway are hearing different things from their conferences and from the members that they need votes from. And so, again, trying to get those four principal members all on the same page with quite a few issues in this farm bill. You have a very different House version from the Senate version. NCBA has been very supportive of the House version, the conservation title, the funding for the foot and mouth disease vaccine bank. So there's a lot of things that from the very beginning have had to be worked out in this conference committee, and it seems like those things are still being discussed. It's not just the food stamp title, it's other titles as well. And so there are a lot of things that have to be worked out to get this bill done. So it's quite a feat for sure.
A large number of agricultural bankers expect farmers to have to sell off assets to improve cash flow or make loan payments as conditions in farm country deteriorate. The Kansas City Fed Bank saying 85% of bankers in the region, which includes Kansas and Nebraska, expect farmers to sell mid to long-term assets before the end of the year as farm incomes and credit conditions continue to erode in the third quarter. The bank said repayment rates on farm loans had declined, especially for dairy, hog, and soybean farmers struggling with large supplies and international tariffs. Sources from Omaha this week saying the tone was a bit different at this year's Ag Bankers Conference, hosted by the American Bankers Association.
Farm bankers are pretty nervous right now, frankly.
Shane Hayes of Kansas is an ag banker and chairman of the ABA's Agricultural and Rural Bankers Committee. Looking ahead to 2019, there's a general concern among bankers about potential problems with loan renewals.
Biggest concern, frankly, as we move into 2019 is cash flows. And with these low commodity prices that we're looking, it's hard to make a cash flow work. It's hard to make something break even, much less profitable. And so that's a pretty big concern as we're now moving into renewal season.
The challenge is finding a balance.
That's a real struggle. We have done some rebalancing in the past, and so we feel like we've got our guys in as best position that we could. I think now we're going to start looking at some of the hard numbers and trying to revisit rental rates, revisit some terms maybe with some suppliers. And so those are hard conversations to have because that's real dollars.
Haynes says the current downturn in the farm economy is different than the farm crisis of the 1980s.
It isn't the 80s in that we have not had some of the high dollar land transactions and the amount of real estate debt. But the other side of that, we were also in the 80s with a time moving forward of lowering interest rates. And so banks and customers could restructure and refinance, go in longer terms with a lower rate. And so the combination of longer terms and lower rates actually helped cash flows. And so coming out of those 80s, a big part of that was restructuring over longer terms with lower rates. If you look at it now, we're doing the exact opposite. We can still restructure, but rates are higher. And between rates increasing and then the risk of that credit increasing, both have caused a higher rate. So I'm actually very concerned about that. Now, I will say I think banks as a whole have done a much better job of analyzing credit, done a much better job of doing cash flows, and so I feel that we are better prepared to handle the 80s. I think we'll be able to recognize it and identify it more quickly, but it doesn't change the fact that you still need money to repay loans.
Former USDA chief economist Joe Glauber addressed ag bankers at the annual convention. He gave a rundown on the implications of the White House's trade policy.
It's hard to talk just about agriculture because there are other issues that are very important to get resolved with China, like intellectual property, like some of the business practices the regulations that prevent U.S. businesses from doing business in China that are very important and need to get resolved. The problem is agriculture really has borne a big brunt of the costs, and I'm not sure how quickly it gets resolved. Obviously, soybeans have been hit the hardest because they are just China is so important to that market. 25% of the soybeans produced in this country go to China, typically. And that's a market that is projected to grow over the next 10 years, continue to grow. And instead, we now find that that's a market that's being supplied almost solely by Brazil. And yes, there are other countries in the world where U.S. can sell product, but at a discount. And moreover, those are countries that right now their demand isn't growing nearly as fast as it is in China. So that's a market that really needs to get where we really need a good resolution to a trade dispute there, because we're already have seen at planting time in Southern Hemisphere this fall where they are planting more soybeans, not less. And right now, at least, we're projecting a lot less soybeans to be grown here in the U.S. come springtime.
Dr. David Cole of Virginia Tech is worried about the long-term consequences of the administration's hardball negotiating tactics.
Yes, and I'm just going to be blunt. Now, it sounds like I'm bashing President Trump. Did we need to do something? Yes. Whether it was NAFTA or whether it was agreements with China, it was just how it was done. We're going to tear up NAFTA or we're going to impose these tariffs. And here's the one thing. In the long term, this has some long-lasting 5 to 10 year implications, because trust, once violated, negates the relationship. And we violated some of that trust.
Grain traders this past week had one eye on Twitter, watching for any new trade deal developments. President Trump is slated to meet with his Chinese counterpart during the G20 summit at the end of the month. U.S. Grains Council President and CEO Tom Slate is optimistic.
A lot of times I always say, it's my job to plan for the worst or hope for the best and plan for the worst, right? This case, we're kind of hoping for the best and planning for the best. We're planning that things are going to start to turn in a more positive direction. You know, a lot of people are talking about that these talks coming up in Argentina with the G20 between the two presidents, President Trump and President Xi, are going to be the beginning of the beginning, the beginning of the negotiation. And anything that sort of goes in a positive direction is going to be a positive development for trade with China. So we're planning to start to get positive, more positive dialogue. The people we talk to in China are certainly advocating for that. Yeah, there's going to be some back and forth over the next couple of weeks before the leaders to meet. But again, a lot of feeling is these problems are going to escalate to a point where both countries realize, hey, we got to get something figured out here, and we may be getting close to that point.
Jim McCormick with Allendale.
To really get a big move, we actually got to get China backing off on the bean tariff. I would say that's your best shot. I mean, the biggest problem we have right now is this has taken so long to come to this. If we could have cut this deal in June, July, August, when we still had this export market in front of us. The problem is we're cutting a deal on November 30th. Brazilians are going to start harvesting beans, their early beans, as early as late December, they're saying now. So even if you do get a deal, we're going to have to compete directly with the Chinese or for the Chinese business with South America. So it will limit the movement. But this has been an overhang of the market now for, 6-9 months, where it's just you just waited for the next tweet. The next, this is going to get worse. It's going to get better. It's going to get worse. I think just a relief rally will happen just to kind of get it off the board. NAFTA is a classic example. We kind of got the NAFTA deal done. It really didn't change much in agriculture for the most part. A little bit in the milk besides that, but we did kind of just get a relief like, hey, it's not going to get worse. And that allowed the market to bounce a little bit. And I think that's the same situation we'll see across all the ag sector if the deal can get done.
The U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance is promoting a refined focus and a new farmer ambassador network for 2019. I visited with Brad Greenway, a South Dakota diversified crop and livestock producer and immediate past chair of the alliance.
You know, I've been on the U.S. Farmers and Ranch Alliance for board for 6 years, and so there's many things that we can be very proud of, from food dialogue to the farmland film, just a lot of things where I think we have elevated and brought farmers' voices to the table. Going forward, I think what you're going to find, and you mentioned the ambassador program, we want to have, there are so many good farmer leaders out there representing all of agriculture, good spokesmen for the industry, and we want to make sure that we elevate, again, their voices from all aspects of agriculture. And so when we talk about refined focus, not only bringing more farmers to the light from all across the U.S., but also bringing other people, part of the food chain, into the conversation. Retailers, CPGs, things like that, bringing more around the table, get the whole food chain involved with the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance.
Greenway encourages any interested producer to take part in the conversation because every farmer, every acre, and every voice matters in creating sustainable food systems of the 21st century.
Well, by all means, I mean, if they want to, we're going to be reaching out then from Farmers and Ranch Alliance to those organizations, you know, that represent agriculture and finding those ambassadors. But honestly, Rusty, every day we as farmers can do things to help promote and talk about what we do on the farm. And whether it's a farmer, an individual farmer, you know, through social media, whether he shares a video of what they are doing that day, we might sometimes think it's mundane and it's just a normal practice of the farmer. There are so many people, so many consumers that are interested in how food is grown and raised, and what better place to get the information from the farmer that's doing it every day. So sometimes just thinking about what you're doing, show a good video, answer a question, be a resource to whoever you can be. If they have a question about farming, be willing to step up and be that voice for farmers.
I also asked Brad about his time on the board and how it changed his worldview, so to speak, when it comes to the relationship between the producer and the consumer.
Now, just a couple venues that we go to, and what that really showed me as being part of this organization is we were going where farmers were generally not at. I think of a Food for Tomorrow out in New York. They were going to talk about a two-day conference about how we were going to grow food for tomorrow, and no farmers were on the panels in 2 days. That has changed. Literally 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I was out at the Wall Street Journal Food Forum, and farmers were well represented. And I think I'm going to give a lot of credit, I think, to Farmers and Ranchers Alliance in going to those venues that we think, you know what, it's going to be very uncomfortable, but we have to be there. And now all of agriculture is saying, you know what, we need to be part of this, and we're being more represented at these things that maybe are not traditionally what we're used to doing, Rusty. And so that has changed in the 6 years that I've been involved, from being having to say buy our way to the table to now them actually reaching out different organizations across the country saying, hey, can you be part of this conversation? And I think that's changed, and I'm going to give a lot of credit to Farm and Ranch Alliance to be the kind of the front runner in getting that going.
Going forward, Brad hopes the next generation will step up to the plate.
I just think of the next generation that's coming. My dad is still on the farm at 86. Mm-hmm. They just did the day-to-day work. I was probably a little more involved, and I look at this next generation. They are going to be so much more involved in getting their message out. You look at through social media or media, they're willing to step up to the plate, and it's exciting for the future of agriculture.
Well, yeah, by all means. Absolutely. That's a very talented generation that we have coming up. When you say they're so familiar with social media and getting the message out about agriculture, we could be on the horizon of something big.
We really could. And I think, again, that next generation that's doing that. And honestly, right now we have to look at this as an opportunity. If people want to know what we're doing on the farm, by all means, share that. And so look at this as an opportunity to get our voice and our message out of what we do every day on the farms.
South Dakota producer Brad Greenway, past chair of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. I'm Rusty Halverson.
This has been the American Ag Network Week in Review. I'm Sabrina Hill. For Rusty Halverson and myself, thanks for listening. Join us again next week.